Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century. From I Love Lucy to News Radio, I am your TV guide, Brett White. And this week I am joined by returning guest Matt Little.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Welcome back. First ever repeat guest.
Very excited about this.
Because this is a show that I knew I had to do with you.
Yeah. We talked about doing this as the first episode,
too. It was like... It was either Friends or Full House, and I was like, am I allowing Full House to be the first episode of this podcast?
that's fair.
So we did, even back when we did Matt Brett Love Comics, I think we wanted to do an April Fool's episode where we just did Full House.
Yes! Oh my god, that's right!
So it's always been in my head of like, I just want to get into Full House. So
yes.
With back to school season upon us.
Oh, yeah.
I was like...
Check your local Target.
Yeah. Oh God, it's already... All the swimwear and beach stuff is out and all the fucking school supplies are back in, so...
Yeah. This is that part of the year where, we're exhausted by the heat, but all of the... Everything reminding you that it's going to be fall is still depressing until the weather kind of breaks.
Which now, thanks to global warming, which is fucking real...
Yeah.
It's not going to be for still like another 2 months or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, our dying Earth. Anyway.
way to start it off hot.
this is going to be a roller coaster of an episode. Because this week we are traveling to September 29th, 1989. Black Rain ruled the box office. Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You by Milli Vanilli topped the charts.
Oh, yeah.
And ABC aired the Full House episode Back to School Blues. Matt, you must have seen Back to School Blues before.
110%.
I thought you were gonna say 110 times, which is accurate also.
Well, that's also accurate. You look back at as soon as Full House went into syndication, it was on for at least an hour on several different, there was a point, much like Seinfeld and The Simpsons later, where you could start watching Full House at 5 p.m. and continue to watch it until 8 p.m.
Yeah. I think when we were both, were we both underemployed at the same time in 2007, 2008? Because I remember both of us being like, oh yeah, I also watch ABC Family.
Yes. Oh yeah, because they just had a marathon of it every afternoon.
2 hour block every day. Because, so I grew up watching Full House. Of course.
Yes.
So you also grew up watching Full House, right?
Uh-huh.
Were you at the time aware of it being good or bad?
I was aware. So I remember as a child enjoying it. By the last season.
1995.
I remember it being habit that I enjoyed semi-ironically.
Well, how old were you in 1995?
95.
What grade is that?
Ninth. So I was 14 years old.
Yeah. See, because it ended when I was in fifth grade.
Yeah.
So, but even then, as a fifth grader, I don't know if I ever genuinely... I can't suss out my feelings about Full House. I feel like it was just a thing you had to do.
Yes.
I had Michelle novels. And I had, like a Tanner Family scrapbook book.
Yes.
I had this stuff, but, and I remember, one time playing Full House
uh-huh.
with, at
my parents used to drag me to softball fields because they all played softball and I hate sports.
Yes.
So they while they were doing that, I would play with the other children of the other parents on this co-ed team.
Uh-huh.
I remember me and one of the little girls played like Jesse and Becky. Like we played like Full House.
Yes.
On like the playground. But I still like I don't ever remember actively being like this is my favorite show the way I would a I don't know, well I guess cartoons at that time.
Right.
But I still watched it.
It's so true. It was, well, you know what it was too. So at this time in 89, Full House was still a Friday night show.
Yeah, the very end.
At the very end of its run, it became a Tuesday night show.
I only ever knew it as a Tuesday night show.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't until, remember they had that Laughs trading card set?
Oh, from Impel.
Yeah.
People that did the first Marvel Universe
cards.
Yes,
because it was in comic books around 1990, 1991. There were all these like Laughs, and it was Full House, Family Matters, and Perfect Strangers.
Yes.
And I think that was my first inkling of like, oh, Full House, I guess, was a TGIF show at one point.
Yes.
Because I knew it only as a Tuesday night show. So I guess I came on in like season 4 or 5.
It was the summer that Terminator 2 was in theaters. Oh. And the reason that I know this is because they put Mary-Kate and Ashley on a big wheel in the leather jacket. So you remember that.
Yeah,
and that was how they announced that they were moving to Tuesdays.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. but like, and then I remember it was... It hit syndication, like, hard.
Yes.
Like, I think as soon as they hit 100 episodes, they, like, had it locked and loaded and ready to go and markets all across the country. Because I remember growing up watching it new on Tuesdays and then catching up on all these, you know, the first 3 or 4 seasons on syndication, you know, when I was, like, 8.
Well, you know, television watching, I think, too, had a different, there was sort of a different approach to how families watched television at that time. We were coming out of an era where our parents were the first generation to have a TV in like almost every home.
Yeah, yeah.
And TV still at that time when they were children was a gather around it was a bonding experience.
Yeah.
And Fridays and Saturdays were when families would gather.
TGIF was a genius marketing play.
Oh, for sure.
Because it made Friday nights. I mean, I watched TGIF every week. And I also like stayed up, watched 2020 afterwards.
Yeah.
I loved all of that.
John Stossel was as big a celebrity to me as John Stamos. Yeah.
The Stossel and Stamos.
Stossel and Stamos. Friday nights. ABC.
You get a pizza. You sit down, you watch TGIF.
Yes.
And that's every week.
So now, I was recently at a record store that is closing in the West Village, and I was thumbing through their box of books, and I stumbled upon...
Jesse and the Rippers.
No, oh, man, I wish. This was actually a book. It was an autobiography by this guy who was a warm-up comic for a bunch of shows in the 80s. Now, most of the book is just him kind of giving his sort of... talking about behind the scenes stuff that doesn't really have to do with him, but I mean, he knew where his bread was buttered. He was like, mm-hmm. everyone's going to buy this book to hear stuff
about
other shows.
About these old shows.
But one of the shows that he was a warm-up comic for was Full House.
Oh,
so he
man.
Was friends with Bob Saget and Jeff Miller. Jeff Miller was a comedian and a TV writer in LA. The way that this guy tells the story is Jeff Miller pitched Full House as kind of a bullshit pitch. He was trying to pitch other stuff, and this was him like, I don't know what the hell these people want. You know what?
Yeah.
Here's a dumbass show about, like...
3 Men and 3 Babies.
Yes.
Is this 3 Men and a Baby? Does that predate Full House, or is it Full House before?
They were around the same time. I think they were both 87.
So that's, like, you know, big year for men with babies.
Yes. And possibly that was the reason why maybe someone knew that 3 Men and a Baby was in development.
Yeah.
And they realized, oh, this is a similar concept. ABC also really wanted to do something with John Stamos. They were in the Stamos business.
Yeah.
And you watch the show now too, and it's easy to see why, because a lot of Uncle Jesse is just John Stamos. Like, Stamos gonna Stamos.
I mean, the Beach Boys are supporting character, recurring characters on Full House.
He's like the 80s. He's like the 80s version of The Rock.
Yeah.
Where he could be anywhere and everyone just thought he was super charming and they would watch him do anything.
And he's still that way. Like, Stamos mm-hmm. just, I forget, Stamos was on ER for a long time.
Great
like, in
point.
The later years. Like,
yeah.
He just, Stamos all over the place.
Yes, he, I mean, I feel like he willed Full House back onto television.
Yeah, oh yeah. And it's also weird to see that he's top billed. I mean, I didn't, like, as a kid...
He's an executive producer on the new series.
I had no idea, like, what order credits were in and what that meant. But now going back and watching Full House shows, it's like, yeah, it's starring John Stamos and then Bob Saget and Dave Coulier.
Yes.
Whereas I think if, you know, growing up, I always thought, like, this is the Bob Saget show because he's the dad. And but no, like, Stamos is top billed.
Yes.
So, yeah, we both have an extensive history of knowledge of Full House. And I think we both have a lot of knowledge. So let's get into this particular epi.
Let's do it.
This week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Full House episode Back to School Blues. It is the second episode of season 3. It was written by Jeff Franklin and directed by Bill Foster, but not Giant Man.
Not Giant Man. Not the one that died in Civil War. Yeah.
Not the one that's going to be in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Wait, is he really?
Yeah, I can't remember who the cast.
Oh, man.
He's going to be in it. Here's how iTunes describes this episode. DJ has a rough day at junior high school when she finds out, when she finds all the kids are more, air quote, grown up than she is, but she learns that more makeup isn't really the answer. Matt, does that accurately describe the plot?
I mean, that 100% describes the plot. You don't even, there is a B-plot in this episode that doesn't even get resolved.
No, it, well, let's just go free-forming here. Basically, the thing I love most about this show is tracking what the fuck Jesse and Joey's jobs are in any given season, because they go, like, Jesse is a fucking exterminator in season 1 with a different last name.
Yes.
Jesse Cochran. And then he becomes, what's, then they become jingle writers.
Yes.
Then they become, what is that, is right after the jingle writers when they become the Russia Renegades?
Well, they were ad copywriters and they became independent jingle writers.
Okay.
And then they got the job at the radio station as the Rush Hour Renegades.
Okay, and then Joey, and then Jesse bought the Smash Club.
Yes.
After also becoming like an international touring musician because he was big in Japan.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
And then Joey, they, their paths diverged and Joey became Ranger Joe.
Yeah, he got his own local television kids show. But his stand-up career also started getting better because he started dating that other comic.
He did Star Search.
That's right.
Yeah, and then Jesse became, like, what, Professor Egghead or something for an episode on Ranger Joe?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was, like, one episode. Yeah, it might have been more than one, actually. I don't know.
They played on the show.
Yeah.
Because there was that great, I thought it was a very funny joke, that he needed the paycheck and he didn't want to look like a Ranger jackass.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah. Sometimes they'd slip a swear in on the show.
So this, we are firmly in we're in ad copy era, right?
I believe so, because they're taking a meeting
with a oil. It's like an oil guy.
Yeah.
Like car oil.
This is also in oil. What I like to call this is the every line is a reaction to Michelle era. Literally every line. Yeah. Now, this does have one rare line, and it was very rare. I remember tracking this when it was in syndication because it would be on so much. I noticed this pattern that for about 3 or 4 years on the show, every line that Michelle said, there was either laughter afterwards or an aww after every one. This has one rare line in this episode where there's no reaction.
Oh.
And that is when she picks up the...
Jesus, sorry, Siri wants to chime in.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes Siri produces the show. when she says, I want makeup, there's no reaction.
Yeah.
And it's a very rare non-reaction line for a Michelle.
Creepy, because she walks in with like her lips slathered in bright red lipstick.
Oh, yeah. She comes back in looking like Heath Ledger's Joker.
So, yeah, the B-plot is them trying to sell ads to, it's like Jiffy Lube. It's like a motor oil, I think.
Yes.
And, like, the person plays golf, and so they're going to have to go play golf. And then there is one scene of Joey teaching Jesse how to play golf, and that's basically it.
Also, like, also prominently featuring a gay panic joke.
Uh-huh.
Now, the thing about that, too, that I realized as we were watching this, now that I'm older, is I am surprised that they're making a gay panic joke when these guys live in early 90s San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. They're all surrounded by it.
Yeah. Like, you have to be surrounded by this all the time.
Also, just in terms of social settings, Danny, Jesse, and Joey are three men that live together. And I feel like in San Francisco, people, if they go to parties, people are just going to assume, like, oh, they're in, like, a triad. They're in, like, a polyamorous relationship.
Yes.
Like, and they probably have to be, like, making a lot of clarification. So you got to be more open to it.
Yeah.
To start off with, this episode's cold open.
Okay. Without any jokes.
Like, it's just... I'm glad you brought up Michelle, because we are definitely in the, oh, hey, Mary-Kate and Ashley, they can finally talk. Like,
yes.
We're definitely in that, like, let's get them, let's start making... Because before, they were just, like, the cute baby.
Oh, yeah.
Season three, they're, like, kind of walking, kind of talking. Like, start... The cold open is just Jesse and Michelle playing, like, hide and seek.
Yes, with, on the couch.
On the couch, and that's it. And then it ends, like... Michelle's not a play, and he's like, okay, well, you count. So she closes her eyes and counts, and then she, like, opens them and
three, like, four, five. Here I am. I'm in again. Copy.
She found herself, and Jesse's like, oh, you stinker, and then just, like, jumps on the couch and hugs her.
You know what, you know what it
no
is?
Joke.
It's an upper status, lower status game. And they give Michelle upper status, which everyone loves, and then Jesse accepts it.
Can we talk about Jesse's outfit in the cold open?
Okay.
Because it is like a navy royal blue tee.
Yes.
Some big, are they black jeans? Or they're like a black...
I think most of his pants have pleats.
They're like
right
a weird black
era
jean pleat. Yeah. Something
like Z Cavarici jeans were jeans with pleats.
And then he is wearing, with the blue t-shirt and black pants, thick banded suspenders.
Yes.
That have like white circles on them.
Yes.
Like, and they are thick. They're like, I don't know, like a good like 2-inch thick.
Yeah.
Suspenders with a t-shirt and then bright white like Reeboks.
Yes. It is it is something that wouldn't look out of place in my neighborhood today. I feel like someone that looks like they're trying to look dirty would be walking down Bedford Avenue wearing
looking
this.
Looking like the Uncle Jesse look.
Yes.
But I'm also like, for his character in 1991, what the hell is that conveying? Because he's supposed to be the edgy bad boy rock and roller.
Right.
He has one of the funniest things about Full House is how Uncle Jesse is a bad boy that just, like, loves oldies.
Yes.
Like, loves the most toothless...
Like, the most toothless rock and roll.
Because
he lived through... So he is an adult in his 20s. When he was a teen, like, he should have been listening to Alice Cooper and Zeppelin in the 70s.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. He was listening to Elvis and, like, Bill Haley in the comics.
Like, and it's like, ooh, he's a badass.
Yeah.
And so you see this version of Jesse. I think, like, season one, there's a lot of, like, Henleys and, like, leather jackets.
Right.
A lot harder.
Right.
Season three, they've just gone full, like... I don't know. He looks kind of like, I don't know, Six on Blossom in this opening scene.
Yes.
Like, without the hat.
He, and his next outfit, by the way, which I also wrote down.
I had to write down suspenders and underline it because, dear God, Jesse and your suspenders.
That's, well, my question was, do you feel like you could ever rock the Katsopolis? I feel like I would call this look the Katsopolis.
Well, his second look is, they are thinner spenders.
Mm-hmm.
Thinner suspenders. They're like a brown. Like a brown, like leathery kind of maybe. And it's like a maroon. Is it a maroon button down?
It's a maroon short sleeve button down. Because the sleeves come to his elbows.
Yeah. And then what kind of pants is he wearing?
They're just high waisted, pleated black or pleated gray trousers.
Yes. If those sleeves were longer, longer sleeves, no pleats, tighter fit. I would wear it.
Okay.
But that's also a completely different outfit, basically. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is, but it just, watching Woody, and you're so right about the sort of bad boy image that they tell you. It's like they tell you one thing about him, but then they show you something very different.
Because this is 1989, like, he should be dressed like Axl Rose.
Yeah, he's also only, like, in his late 20s.
Which is also mind-blowing how young Stamos actually is, and then also how young... Because I think he's supposed to be, like, 22 or something in the series premiere. 22, 23? Like,
yeah.
He's,
He's not that old. I don't know anybody that would dress like he should be dressed like he was, especially for the music he plays. He should look like he's on the LA, like on Sunset Strip.
Yeah. And he decidedly does not.
No.
I will say we both noted the opening credits. Yeah, after this comes the opening credits, which, like, again, another one of the greatest opening credit sequences of all time. But then
another
also
classic banger.
Just like, again, it's just everything Full House is.
Mm-hmm.
Overly earnest, saccharine, emotional theme song.
Yes.
And then just, again, the opening credits are just so sugary sweet and comforting, and it's like it's all a whole bunch of like light comic scenes of like we're going to the grocery store,
yes,
we're like riding on a trolley car, and then you know their names come up and it's like I'm like going to school, I'm trying to tell you something,
like, yes, there's a lot of like sort of aspirational family aspects of this show, and it's funny that you mentioned that. I thought this at before DJ and Gibbler go to their first day of junior high.
Which Gibbler, is treated like ninth grade.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute when we start talking about what these kids look like. Gibbler says that...
Well, here are your lunches.
Mr. Tanner, wake up. In junior high, the cool kids buy their lunch. If you want to be a good dad, give her a bag of cash.
Danny just unthinkingly, even though he already packed DJ a lunch, just hands her money.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, yeah, that was aspirational to me as a kid, because when I was a kid, if that happened, and I was like,
yeah,
no, I don't want to carry my lunch, I want to buy it, my parents would be like, you shut the fuck up, and
yeah,
you take the we lunch we made you.
Because also, San Francisco is the most expensive city in America.
Yes.
And they are living in a, TARDIS house.
It is.
It's one of the painted ladies is what those houses are called.
For sure.
Right? I think it's, yeah. And it is thin.
Yeah.
But like you go inside and it is just this expanse.
I remember on Entertainment Tonight, around the time that one of the last two seasons they did like an on-set visit. So yeah. I watched it because it came on at 7:30 right after I'd been done watching Full House.
It's been on for 2 hours.
So they talked to, you know, Bob Saget's taking them around, and I believe it was him that said, you know, it's a fun fact, like, this set wouldn't actually fit inside this house, and they, like, expanded the top floor in, like, a graphic recreation to make it look like, and the top floor would stretch across the two houses that neighbor that house.
Oh, wow, and that does not happen here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a house with four stories in it, because I also love mapping where everyone lives and moves throughout the course, because they all move around. Because there's, like, a basement. There's a garage that starts out as a garage.
Yeah.
Then it becomes Joey's room after he moves from living in the fucking alcove in the living room, which is such a shitty thing to do to him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, you're going to be bunk beds with Jesse because, like, you should have a door.
Yes.
Ugh, they treated Joey wrong in season one. and then after that, it becomes Jesse's recording studio.
Yes.
Because then Joey moves upstairs, because doesn't Stephanie's old room then becomes, hold on, Stephanie's room becomes Joey's room, Jesse's room.
Yes.
And then when Jesse moves in with Becky in the attic, Joey moves into that room, right?
Wait, no. Yeah, DJ Joey, got her own room.
DJ got Michelle's room.
Yes.
Because what happened, like, Michelle always had that, wait. Yes, okay. DJ had the big room where two of them always sleep.
Yes.
So when Jesse enters their lives, Michelle keeps her room. Stephanie moves into DJ's room.
Yes.
So that's that. And then there are two switches that happen, and I think they might have happened at the same time, where Jesse moves upstairs and then Michelle and DJ switch.
Yes.
And then Joey moves into Stephanie's room, because that room is empty. Yeah. So the See, it's such a good, it's like a Jenga.
And
it's
I feel like I wonder then, like,
it's a jigsaw puzzle.
I think about the writer's room in those moments where they're like, they were like, what's a story? Oh, we have them living where?
Yeah.
No, all right, well, there's a story. We gotta get the fuck out of the alcove.
Because again, like, I remember like the show telling me Joey lives in that alcove. And then just like as a young viewer being like, that isn't true. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
They're denying it. And then you realize, no, his stuff is back there.
Oh, yeah. You were an alcove denier.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So, like, the show starts up on, and it is first day of...
Junior high.
And Stephanie is upset because she's not going to be the only Tanner in elementary school anymore. Because she's going into second grade and DJ's going into seventh grade.
Yeah. And what happens if someone calls Stephanie, and I wrote this insult down.
What if some kid calls me a lamoid zombie dog?
DJ's response is, just bite him.
Just bite him. It's, also, the jeans, like, as we, when they leave and they go downstairs, you get a great shot of Joey's, the pants that Joey's wearing, and I just, like, how strong were our hips in the 90s to hold up all that denim?
Yeah.
Like, denim is heavy. Like,
it's just, it's just holding it up there. Well, was he wearing a belt? No, also no belts in the early 90s.
No belts.
Barely a thing.
Belts were, until they brought braided belts back, they were not cool. They were not cool.
I wanted to comment about how morning in the Tanner house is just, it's just frantic.
It feels like, it always feels like chaos. I always wonder what time of day it is that everyone is so awake and talking to each other.
It is solidly... 6:30?
Yeah.
6:30, 6:45, maybe 7.
Yeah, because they have a morning show to get to.
Because I noted, like, so it's morning in the Tanner house, and both Kimmy and Becky come over in the morning to pick up, respectively, DJ and Danny.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I know as a writer, everyone's coming over because they just want to have them in scenes.
Right.
But to step back logically, like, does Becky swing by and pick Danny up every morning to go to their adult job that they should both be responsible enough to just meet at?
Yes. That is insane to me. So that means she gets up at like 5 to get ready so that she can go. Waste time.
Are they carpooling into Wake Up San Francisco?
I think so. I think that was a storyline later in the series.
And again, like, Lori Loughlin, A+, MVP, great, love Lori Loughlin. So the more we get of Aunt Becky.
Oh yeah.
A+, good job.
Oh yeah.
Is this her first season as a regular? Because she is in the opening credits.
I think so.
I also do like mapping the opening credits because Full House has a good one that fluctuates and you get to see they reshoot it every year.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate that so much. I love that so much.
That stuff doesn't happen anymore.
No. So shout out. That's why when Fuller House season 2 debuted, I was actually pretty mad because I don't think... No, I think they did insert new clips from season 1 in it, but the shots of them like introducing the clips is all the same. And I was mad about that.
Also, Stephanie, a little prescient here when she says that when she's in elementary school.
But when I get to junior high, you'll be in high school. When I get to high school, you'll be in college. When I get to college, you'll be working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know, really kind of foreshadowed this whole post-collegiate crisis that our generation is having.
Stephanie knows what is up.
Yeah.
Stephanie's authoring some books about millennials and the Gen X.
Yeah.
Because DJ is Gen X.
Yeah.
But Stephanie is probably a millennial.
She would be because she was...
This is
89. At that time, seven.
She's in 89. This is second grade.
Yeah. So she would have been born in 82.
Yeah. So this is... depending on where your beginning of millennial is, she's... Yeah, she is a...
Yeah.
So, okay. And then Michelle is also a millennial, which is why that is bullshit. Which is why these generational divides are bullshit. Because I'm not Michelle, okay? Damn it.
You know, it's not 100% my story to tell, but my girlfriend was working for an organization company a couple of years ago, and one of their clients was Ashley Olsen.
Ashley.
So she had to come in. Well, actually, both of them. Oh, no, you know what? It was Mary Kate.
Mm.
They were organizing... closet for Mary Kate because her and her new husband just
isn't that creepy old dude?
Yeah.
Is that guy?
They bought this crazy ass mansion up near Midtown on the east side, and apparently it shares a backyard, like a private backyard area with Ashley's crazy ass mansion, which is on the opposite side of the other block.
Wow.
So my girlfriend was in, like, the kitchen Because they had to like organize all this stuff, and she saw like old, they still have old costumes from like How the West Was Fun.
Oh,
and they're labeled. They're labeled.
That makes me like them a lot for some reason.
She said that there was a knock at the back door, and my girlfriend opened the door and was like, "Oh, hi." And it was Ashley, and she was like, "Hi. Where's Mary Kate?" She was like, "Oh, I don't think she's here right now." She goes, "Okay. Where's Dasha?" Who is the person that runs the like organization company. She's like, "Oh, she's in the other room. Hi, I'm Becky." And she goes, "Ashley." And then just wandered off. And she was like, that was like the extent of her. She said she came in, like looked at like 5 bags, said to keep them, and then was like, "This is too hard." And then left. And I said, "What is that life?"
Oh, I love it. Do you think, they are buying Manhattan mansions with Full House money, right? Or is it, as I'm trying to figure out, did they make more money on Full House, on their own video VHS enterprise, empire, or off of their fashion lines?
Well, I think what they did really well was that they merchandised themselves.
Yes.
They were like one of the first, and you look back, they really did create like a 360 media brand for themselves.
Which is really as, like, well, their parents did, I guess. But as, like, 10-year-olds, they had the guts to launch their own direct to, like, Mary-Kate and Ashley mysteries and all this stuff that weren't, like, that's not TV shows. Like, we're just going to sell the VHSs directly. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, like, they did, like, a direct-to-consumer thing.
Pretty
and
crazy.
And that is, I would imagine a lot of that money comes from syndication.
Yeah.
And I would assume, because they had a large family, like, that family is pretty big, right? Like, there's a bunch of Olsons.
Scarlet Witch is in there now.
Yeah, and they're all, and they weren't, when I think that a family has, like, 8 kids or something, I immediately think, oh, God, like, how stretched thin are they? But they weren't. They knew how to handle their money, I think, before Full House, so I'm assuming they had great, like, financial advisors.
Yeah, I think they're set.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the weird, well, Jesse comes out as anti-golf because he doesn't know how to golf, but mm-hmm. he says only little old ladies.
I'm sorry, Joseph. Golf is for little old ladies.
I play golf.
And hot young babes.
Is that an accurate stereotype for 1989? Is there any, because I have no idea, like, golf's public perception in the 80s.
Yeah.
That seemed weird.
Yeah, that's not true at all. In fact, like, so many people associate the PGA, even at that time, with, like, Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer.
Yeah. So that's, again, I mean, I guess Jesse's too busy listening to Elvis cassettes.
Yeah.
Be up on the golf life.
It's so, so strange, that quote, or that comment. And I was like, is he supposed to be projecting there and showing off how dumb he is? Or is he just really that, or were they just that clueless?
Yeah, or are the writers not, did not know anything about golf? Because, I mean, like, golf didn't become a big thing in my life till Tiger Woods.
Oh, Tiger Woods, y'all.
So then, I guess we can now get into the middle school.
Yeah.
So they go to the first day of school, and, like, Kimmy and DJ get separated, and then they finally, they pick up their schedules and, like, see each other, hug, and are like, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Oh, we only have one period together."
We only have one class together. 6 periods Spanish. Great. The only time we're together, we can't speak English.
I thought it was a fun joke.
Good joke. Good joke.
But these, you know, I had to go back in when I originally wrote this note, I wrote, the high schoolers are styled like they're 35. And then I remembered that this was junior high.
Junior high. They're 7th grade.
They're 12 and, like, at the oldest, they're 14.
Yeah.
And they have them styled like they're 30.
Yeah, there's a kid with a mustache, which again is, like, funny joke. But that's, like, a funny joke on a sitcom that deals in purposely absurd humor.
Yes.
Like, Arrested Development can make that joke.
Yes.
Full House is absurd. I mean, Kimmy Gibbler has a pet ostrich in one episode.
Yes.
So it is absurd, but it is not, It is not an absurd show.
Right.
It's almost unintentionally absurd. It's like silly.
Yes.
It's not an absurdist Green Acres-y show.
Great call.
So, a middle schooler with a mustache is like, for me, a step to, like, it's still like, what reality are we dealing with here?
Yes.
That's the kind of joke a different show should make, I think. I don't know.
You know, he makes a quick reappearance in the episode, too. He is standing beside the phone booth.
Yeah.
When DJ goes into the phone booth to have lunch, and he's also standing by himself,
yeah,
not talking to anyone, and laughs at her.
It's very like Matthew McConaughey, like, you know, yes, what I love about high school. Like, that's very,
yeah,
because he's a man with a mustache leering at the Irga.
Maybe he's a narc. Maybe undercover.
He's a 21
this is like a 21 Jump Street thing.
He's failed to come. This is a subtle 21 Jump Street crossover.
Yes.
And then, so like, DJ is there. I can't remember, what is Kimmy wearing?
Kimmy is wearing something.
Is it like a purple? Oh, it's like the, isn't there that weird like green and black like tie dye kind of,
yes,
like jumper thing?
Yes.
Like it looks like aerobics wear. Like,
yes.
And DJ is wearing, I wrote like, it's a vest that looks like it is made out of like hotel wallpaper.
Yes.
Like hotel, like 80s hotel bathroom wallpaper.
Yes.
And then she basically just looks like the peach crayon in a Crayola box.
Yeah. She looks like she is going to leave school to finish her crochet.
Yeah. Because it's like giant khaki pants and then,
yeah,
like a beige shirt and then,
yeah,
like that beige wallpapery oversized vest.
She has Meals on Wheels to deliver after,
right,
school.
Which is also prescient because the embarrassing thing is the lunch lady, the lunch monitor teacher lady,
yes,
that DJ says everyone hates. But I was like, I don't know. I guess maybe.
Yeah.
She comes in and she's wearing the exact same thing and that's what makes everyone laugh at DJ, and then,
yep,
she has to lock herself in the phone booth.
Yes.
Very depressed.
Very sad. Do kids just pretend to talk on their phone?
Yeah.
Like their cell phone for lunch?
Here's the thing. Do they have their cell phones in the school?
That is a great question.
I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know what policy is on that now.
I'm trying to think. I carried, because I had a cell phone in high school.
Yeah.
But I think I got it when I was like a junior. And I guess I did. I honestly have no idea where it was. I don't know if I took it to school, because I know it was big, because it was a big cell phone.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I know it definitely like wasn't just in my pocket all day. Maybe,
yeah,
it was. It had a Union Jack faceplate and a Wonderwall ringtone.
Oh, of course it did.
That's me. a question about this, though. A phone booth in the cafeteria.
Yes.
Is that a thing? That was not a thing at any school I ever went to.
Well, I mean, San Francisco was on the precipice of the tech boom.
Okay,
so
right. Oh, yeah.
That's how I'll no prize that.
Yeah. Because that is weird. It's like a straight up like Clark Kent Superman style,
mm-hmm,
Bill and Ted phone booth.
Even as a kid, I thought that was a weird,
yeah,
situation.
Because there are other shows. Usually they have to go to the bathroom. But see,
mm-hmm,
that would require them to build a separate set.
Yeah.
And a cut, because she would have to walk to the bathroom.
Yep.
This way she can just go straight to the phone booth because it's in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
What was your first day of seventh grade like? I mean, was it anything like this?
No, not even close. So seventh grade, interestingly enough, was the last year that you were in the middle school at my school.
Oh, you had eighth grade in high school?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Eighth grade. So when I was in school, our elementary school was first to fourth. Then you moved to middle school for fifth through seventh. And then you
weird.
Went to high school for 8 through 12. And then the year that I went to 8th grade, they changed. They moved 5th grade. They opened the intermediate school. They'd been building the school,
yeah,
for a couple of years. So they opened the intermediate school, and they moved 4th and 5th grade to the intermediate school. And then when I was a freshman in high school, they moved 8th grade down to the middle school.
Where it should be.
Yes.
I feel bad for all those 8th graders being exposed to all those dirty high schoolers.
Well, what was weird, too, was the way that they had our school set up, like what times people went to school. So when I was in middle school, the middle school got to school. So, like, call time at elementary school was the last one in the school district. Like, it was the,
yeah,
latest in the school district. High school was in the middle, and middle school had the earliest. We would wait for the bus as 10-year-olds at about 10 after 6 in the morning.
Jeez Louise.
To get to school. And then when I got to high school, when I was going into 8th grade, I was
looking forward to being able to sleep in. But that summer, they announced that the high school was adopting the middle school start time, and the middle school was taking the high school start time. So it just never changed for me.
I don't think, like, my middle school experience was nothing like, I'm thinking back, I don't remember kids being as dressed up as these kids, as, like, they run into Kathy Santoni.
Yes.
First appearance of recurring source of, like, high school competition, Kathy Santoni.
Yes.
This episode.
Yeah, yeah.
She, and DJ and Stephanie, or DJ and Kimmy don't recognize her because she, like, grew breasts and started showing her belly, basically.
Yes.
Because she's dressed like a music video.
Yes.
Actor.
She's dressed like Paula Abdul.
Yeah. I don't remember. She says, after she, like, gives him the lay of the land and says, everyone makes out in the football field after school. Everyone makes out in the football field.
Everyone.
I don't remember. My middle school experience in Tennessee was not like any of this at all. I mean, there were definitely, there were power couples and stuff, you know, there was all that. But I don't remember people, like, making out all the time. I don't really remember people dressing like fly girls, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I've always been a sneakerhead. I used to, when I was nine, like when I was in the fourth grade, the Jordan 4s came out.
Okay.
And I would do chores for anybody in my family to collect enough money. I wound up making, like, across a year, I wound up making like $270.
Ooh.
And bought three pair of Jordans.
Yeah.
I was obsessed. And, like, even seventh grade, I came into school. I had the Olympic edition Charles Barkley Nike 180s.
Hell yeah.
Which I wore those things into the ground. That for me was like my big fashion thing. But as far as like making out and stuff like that goes, I mean, I don't know. Okay, I had my first kiss in sixth grade, and it was at the Homewood Roller Rink.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds very Full House.
Yeah, so people would make out at the roller rink because your parents would drop you off there on like a Friday evening for a couple of hours, and then your girlfriend that you're going with, not even going steady, it was just going with, right?
Yeah.
They would come too, and then you would skate around and like nervously talk to each other, and then everyone would dare you to kiss, and then you would like tongue kiss and then be like, I can't believe I just did that. And that was my experience. This sort of like, I guess I'll say that if that experience exists where everyone was making out like after school, I didn't experience that.
No, and I did not. I famously did not have any friends until ninth grade. Thank you very much. So the friends were my only friends.
Mm-hmm.
In seventh grade, I wore nothing but like Star Wars T-shirts.
Yes.
And the only time people would talk to me would be to borrow comics from me to read during supervised study.
Yep, there you go.
I was the dealer of comic books to people that would never talk to me about comics or even admit that they liked them outside of supervised study.
Yeah.
But would read them, but then not talk to me. Good times. So let's move on to the Jesse Joey golf scene, only because I want to ask, are Jesse's golf clothes really worse than what he is normally wearing?
No. Like, not even a little bit. It's also surprising to me because Joey dresses like such a slob, and it's insinuated that these clothes are Joey's because Jesse says, thanks for lending me these golf clothes.
Which are, they're like green and pink plaid pants and then a pink, because like a pink polo or something.
It's a pink polo with like a pale blue or pale green stripe.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, honestly, my aesthetic almost. Like, I would, again, tailor it to fit a fucking body.
I know.
And then I would wear it.
I just don't understand, like, the billowy look. I look back on my own, like, blunder years.
Oh, yeah.
And wearing, like, I used to wear extra large t-shirts and I was a size medium.
Honestly, like, all those Star Wars t-shirts.
Yeah.
Larges.
Yes.
Larges, extra larges.
Yeah.
Why? I honestly, it worked out because, again, like, when that shit became ironic in, like, college and stuff, I could go back, oh, I can wear these.
Yes.
Like, legit in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then they have that Joey effortlessly golfs, and then Jesse can't. And so Joey is like, I'm going to teach you. Michelle is watching inexplicably because Michelle needs screen time.
Yeah, she has her little Tyco, or her, like, play school golf set. and a lawn chair.
Yeah, that's already out there that Joey just plucks her in to be like, you are now in this scene.
Yes.
And so Joey goes behind Jesse to like help him swing, and there's like a bit of like a good panic about like
help him swing.
Yeah. I do want to say that I think we said in the opening credits that like Joey's shirt was really good. Is that? It was his shirt, wasn't it?
Yeah. Joey had a actually was wearing a solid like he had a little bit of style. And it's interesting to me too, because by the end of the series, he's just like in the Kevin Smith, like the sad Kevin Smith outfit of like an oversized hockey jersey and hockey sweatpants all the time.
The thing about watching Fuller House, because I've watched both seasons like first day they came out.
Yep.
Is I was like, oh man, like fucking Joey dresses really well. Oh no, like I like what Joey is wearing, and it just is like, oh god, am I the Joey? What is happening? Because I could recognize, like, I'm pretty sure he's wearing like Bonobo's short sleeve shirts,
yes,
like original Penguin. Like he's got what's like I spent a whole bunch of money on Penguin accessories right before this podcast.
That's true.
It's like, oh god.
You know, it's interesting. Like, I thank God they got a new stylist on that show. Someone who like
updated it. What? Yeah. Like, yeah. Ugh. After that, we get the makeup party scene.
Yes.
So, like, after Kimmy. Oh, did Kimmy also have? She had an embarrassing first day. What did she say her first day was? She said, at least you got to eat lunch, because, I can't remember.
Oh, she had to give hers to a girl
with a tattoo?
At least you got to eat. I had to give my lunch to a girl with a tattoo.
What?
That's another, like, absurd joke
that
works on another show, but again, I'm like, that's...
Yeah, that's like a 30 Rock joke right there.
Yes, okay, that's it. These are a high school where the mustache is a 30 Rock. A junior high school kid with a mustache is a 30 Rock joke. A high schooler with a mustache is a Full House joke.
Yes.
Because that could actually plausibly happen, but it is straining on the thing. But, okay. So a girl with tattoo took Kenny's lunch.
Yeah.
So then they get dolled up.
Oh, they get dolled up. It's makeup time. And
I wrote down makeup party, and then Stephanie came in and said, oh, it's a makeup party.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, I call that. Didn't see that coming.
Well, if you're not invited to the make-out party, I guess have a make-up party.
So they're both dressed. I mean, there's like very like Eyes of Tammy Faye. Like they're
there's
a lot going on. There's a lot of hairspray.
RuPaul would have a lot of comments.
It's a lot of look.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a lot of look.
It's a lot of look. And then they get up to show off their outfits, and DJ is wearing like an off-the-shoulder like black mini skirt dress thing.
Yes, it's super tight. They're both wearing super tight clothes.
Yeah.
Gibbler's wearing a similar thing in blue with like black lace tights. And the audience actually gasps at
what they're
wearing.
Well, Kimmy's also stuffed her bra.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. She shows those off.
Yeah. And then Stephanie's there, and this is the line I really did actually like, is that DJ asks, like, how do we look?
Well, how do we look? Cheap.
Yes.
Which, I like that.
But also, I love that Gibbler leans into that, too.
Yeah.
She goes, wait, and that's when she shows off her her stuff job.
I think I've sung the praises of Kimmy Gibbler on this podcast before, but I think I do. I don't think I ironically like Kimmy Gibbler. I think I do genuinely really like the character of Kimmy Gibbler.
They turned her into a cartoon by the end,
which
with,
I
like,
think
all
is
the,
great.
The feet jokes and
stuff.
Yeah,
like just
there was a period in between those two, I think, where she was like one of the funniest parts of the show.
Well, this is season 3. She's not a regular yet. So she doesn't really have that much to do, and she's got some good lines, you know, but she isn't as driving of a presence as like when it's like full on
Hola Tannerinos.
Hola Tannerinos, like neon bodysuits, stinky feet, like making out with Dwayne.
Oh my god, Dwayne. I forgot about Dwayne.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
I love
whatever.
So I love her. And then you had a comment about their method of getting out of the house.
Yeah, so...
Well, because they're dressed like this. DJ, they know they're going to get in trouble.
Yes, and they go, like, every morning the routine's the same in the Tanner household. Yeah. It's filled with people, but also they're always in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And you also have a pretty clear line of sight on the living room balcony.
Yes, of who's in the living room.
Of who's in the living room.
And also you have the option of either going downstairs through the kitchen or through the living room. You can choose. And you can also peek down that kitchen stairwell and like look around.
Yes.
You can easily spy and get a lay of the land both ways.
People have done that in future episodes. Yes, they've eavesdropped from that landing. So why then did they doll themselves up like this? Also,
put a jacket on.
They took their jackets off in their room. Like they were covered up in blankets and jackets.
Yeah.
They took them off and then went through the kitchen.
Yeah.
Instead of going down like the living room and just yelling, "We're late for the bus, we're gonna go."
Or having like, you know, a big jacket on or something.
Yes.
And like leaving it on the porch or putting it in your locker.
This is just you know, subconsciously I can't help but wonder, did they want to be caught?
I think they wanted to be. I think DJ was. She was scared.
Yeah.
It was a trying time.
She was a big fish in a small pond, and now she's in a big pond.
What did you have to say about? What did you think about Stephanie's recounting of her first day of second grade?
Boy, she had like the most golden day of second grade ever. Also, a little insulting that she's like, these kids can't even read.
Yeah, she was. Which I thought that was weird because it's like, You're she's not in a new school, is she? She's still
no, it's the same school.
So she knew that they're, I don't know, that's a weird thing. It's like,
yes,
they're not all of a sudden an influx of like, suddenly the kindergarten class can't read. Oh my God.
Yeah.
What happened?
You didn't figure that out last year?
Yeah. So she's doing fine, which is a good contrast to DJ.
Yeah.
Had a hard time.
Yeah, she had a hard time. I mean, also, Jesse had a hard time trying to play golf. Shot 150 on 9 holes.
Yeah.
And if we just, like, do the math real fast here, which I'm going to do. So, 150 divided by 9 equals about 17 shots per hole. So, it's most holes are, like, a par 3 or par 4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At most, if it's super long, it's a par 5. That means that this he golfed the equivalent of 27 holes on 9 holes, and this must have been a 4-hour round of golf. Man.
Did they win the account?
We don't know.
No, that plot line is so bare bones.
It's never resolved.
They got so much going on with this 7th grade one. So DJ runs upstairs because Danny's, of course, like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
I have control over your body and your decisions.
Yeah.
She is in 7th grade.
Yeah,
but also,
yeah.
I'm not a parent. I don't fucking know. This, honestly, like, shit like this is why I am glad never going to be a parent.
Right.
Me and my husband have been, if we adopt, they're going to be 16. Like,
16.
They're at least going to be, like, youngest 10. Like,
you're going to have, like, job interviews for the kids.
Yeah.
Be like, why do you want to live with us?
Why do you want to live with us?
Yeah.
Us, a gay power couple in a palatial Manhattan. Come to us. Be a part of our media dynasty.
Yeah.
This is the golden future I have ahead of me.
So, me dynasty.
DJ runs upstairs because she's like, I guess I'll be your little girl forever.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then Jesse, Joey, and Danny are like,
you know what all this means? We are on the verge of raising a teenager.
And then we go upstairs and DJ's in her room clutching her pillow person.
Yes.
I love that the pillow person is a plot point in Fuller House.
Really?
Have you watched Fuller House?
I watched like the first 3 episodes of the first season. The one with Macy Gray.
Yeah.
Is legitimately funny.
Okay.
Like there are some, like, Macy Gray in that episode is
Killer
really Robert funny.
Kendall. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, I don't even know why I'm here.
Yeah, that's good. Fuller House, I'm glad. I mean, we can take a slight detour into Fuller House because it is insane.
Yes.
And I got mad at people that were being so mean to it, being like, this is garbage. How dare, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, do you remember Full House?
Yeah, exactly.
The highest compliment that I can give Fuller House that it absolutely deserves, it is astonishingly the exact same show.
Yes.
It is the exact same level of quality, and whether or not you love Full House genuinely, ironically, however you love Full House, is exactly how you will feel about Fuller House, which is a feat.
And
that is very impressive.
So the other thing that I don't think can be overstated enough is that I think that Full House was more influential on television than we at our age realized, because it affected the generation after us.
Oh, yeah.
You look at the Disney Channel, and you look at the cable stations like ABC Family, and Nickelodeon.
Freeform.
Yes, the types of shows that became wildly popular. Have you ever watched iCarly?
No.
iCarly, millions of viewers.
Yeah.
Produced by Brian Robbins, the two kids that were in Head
all
of the
that,
Class,
and
right?
They did all that.
So they produced iCarly. I remember when they had announced that Jack Black was going to be on an episode, and that I read an article about it, that millions of people were watching.
Yeah.
This was like 2012.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and it is Full House.
Yeah.
It's slightly wacky. It's geared towards children. And it just, the only difference is that because it's specifically aimed towards children, the children often get the upper hand over adults.
Right, which is
not
the case on
Full
House.
There's still, adults still have agency on Full House.
Yeah,
but
sometimes whole plot lines where they propose to someone at Disney World and then you never really find out what happens. That character immediately gets written out of the show.
Unbelievable.
Vicky.
But, oh man, Vicky.
Love Vicky.
Vicky. That future.
She just didn't,
such
she just
a future.
Didn't want to be on the show anymore, I don't think.
Really?
They do write her out. They do explain why she, like, takes a job in Alaska or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, yeah. The fact that I also, like, Full House has dedicated fans. Like, legit fans that I do think it is hilarious. So if you're listening to this, I also don't, I'm not, it's weird, like, walking the line of, like, I don't want to shit on it, because I'm not, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm shitting on Full House, even though I have said that it is insane and horrible, but it's also been like, it comes from such a weird place of genuine love.
Well, that's the thing.
I don't even ironically like Full House. I think I do genuinely love Full House, but I think I love it because it is exactly the show that they intended it to be also. It's not like I think that they thought they were making art.
Right.
Like a brilliant, like, edgy show that was pushing boundaries. They knew what they were doing and they did it well. And then it's just one of the most engrossing and entertaining shows maybe to ever exist.
Yeah. I think, too, that there's a certain thing that you and I enjoy with any type of entertainment. Like, even when we'll talk about movies or, like, back on the old show, we love, like, sincerity of intent.
Yeah.
And I think that there's also something that comes through in sincerity of enjoyment, where you can acknowledge the ridiculous aspects of it without trashing it.
Yeah.
And that's a line that I don't think a lot of people understand how to toe, because they think that if you poke fun at something, you have to be mad about it, and that's not the case.
Because you could easily be like, Full House is garbage. And also, that is a sentence I have definitely said sincerely at a time, but then I want to talk about.
Yes.
I want to talk about why it is. And I want to talk about, like, why when I was getting sinus surgery a couple years ago, before I was going into surgery, I was talking to my then fiance, and I was just like, I don't know if I'd already had some drugs or whatever, but I was just like, I was like looking up the Full House complete series boxes, and whenever I'm out of this, I want this. Like, get this for me. We're watching Full House for my recovery.
Wait, are you talking about the full, like, the house?
Yeah, I was like,
the house
he
box
was like,
set?
Can you, because he was, like, genuinely, like, nervous because his, you know, partner was going into surgery. He's like, can you stop talking about buying the Full House complete box set before you go off into surgery? Like, can we be serious for a second? And for my husband to want to be serious for a second is, like, asking a lot.
That's true. This is the guy that dropped a friend's line in the middle of your vows.
Yeah, so... So I do like bringing up, like, I genuinely, like, love talking about Full House. You're never going to get me to admit that it is a legitimately funny show.
Or right.
Or, like, a well-written show.
Yeah.
But they're still, like, I love it. And I love that people love it. I love that apparently Fuller House was the most watched show of 2016 or whenever that first season came out.
Yes.
The most watched show.
Apparently. On Netflix?
Yeah. Like, 24, like...
That's amazing.
It feels like Netflix dropped the numbers just to give a middle finger to Walking Dead. Just to be like, actually, we don't ever tell anyone how many people watch our shows, but this is how many people watch Fuller House. Bye!
Yeah.
Which I was like, I like, that's fine.
It's funny too, like, you're right. No one I think people that are upset about it, well, I, everyone has their own reasons, I guess, but it's not a show that's ever pretended to be anything other than what it is.
No. And what it is a show where a preteen girl is upset about the journey her life is taking, and then an adult walks into her bedroom and music starts playing.
I want to know what's going on with you.
Yesterday was the worst day of my life. Everyone looked so much older than me. I was just exactly like...
Yes.
And the music starts. Because that's the scene that we're at, is the music scene.
Yes, the music scene.
Where all the jokes, you hit pause on the jokes, you hit play on the, like, Kenny G smooth jazz sax.
Yes. Yeah, it's a slowed down... It's like a slowed down version of the theme song on an alto sax. It's like...
Yeah. And you know, here it comes. Here comes, like, the lessons. I honestly cannot remember what the lesson is. I am blanking on all the lines of dialogue from that.
Well, the lesson was that you don't have to be in a hurry to grow up.
Okay.
And also that you're not, just because... a new situation is uncomfortable doesn't mean that you're failing.
Right.
It's that, you know, she was in a transition phase and she had to learn about that she had had an environment around her in her elementary school for so long that she was so accustomed to it that she became, as Danny says, the big fish in the small pond.
Oh, I didn't track what he was saying because it went to this deep fish metaphor.
Yes.
That he then had... That was their attempt at a joke in the serious moment.
Yes,
was
yes.
This fish metaphor.
And then, you know, now she is the same size fish, but in a bigger pond, and now she just has to readjust and relearn how to navigate the waters here.
Yes. And then Becky comes in, because Becky is there, of course, to pick up Danny.
Yeah.
And she basically... She helps DJ with her makeup, which is like... Uncle Becky. Aunt Becky comes in, and she's immediately a grounding force, a calming force.
Yep.
Takes control of the situation effortlessly, genuinely.
For instance, you want a very subtle pink eyeshadow. Can I show her? Can she?
Go for it.
Yes. It was genuinely
Becky,
touching.
Becky
yeah.
is the best.
She is, and she's this... She's a really great presence in those kids' lives because, and you could, this is just solid acting too. Like Bob Saget as an actor looks simultaneously like relieved and proud.
Yeah.
That she asked and good. Also that she wanted to teach his daughter something that he can't teach her.
Yeah. Which is good. So she's his co-host. And his surrogate wife, mother figure, but she's actually going to be his sister-in-law.
Yeah, yeah, I'm surrogate, really surrogate sister, wife-in-law.
Yeah, and so then she gets a makeover. DJ goes to next day at lunch. I guess we're at.
Yes.
Kimmy walks in. They're both dressed like cool kids.
Yeah.
And the kind of cool kids you would see in an ad from 1990 doing a jump in the air.
Yes.
Like, 100%. I could picture it's a white background and their legs are kicked up behind them.
Yes! Yes!
And they're like, what?
They have like Reebok aerobic shoes on and they're just like,
it's
wow!
Like neon orange, neon green, really great.
Yes.
Kimmy says they have lunch together now because she got her schedule changed, which I felt was a big plot point that I need to know more about. Did she get her schedule changed specifically for this purpose? Did she have her schedule changed? Did her mom get her schedule? Kimmy has absentee parents for the most part, so I don't think it's that. But is there a side story where Kimmy undergoes, like, a super spy, like, master manipulator scheme to, like, get her schedule changed?
You know, it's entirely possible. Maybe she got her lunch schedule changed because the day before she had to give her lunch to a woman
with a tattoo. Who turned out to be, like, an escaped convict and...
Yeah. There's a whole crazy plot on the other side
of
that.
We don't need Fuller House. We need the Kimmy Gibbler side of just...
Yeah.
So then they meet two new friends who we don't think we ever see again. And you pointed out that during this introduction scene, there is a there's a junior high extra that is not doing his job in the background.
Okay, so one of my favorite things is to watch how extras behave. If I've seen something enough, I will pay attention to the extras just to see what people are doing.
Yeah.
This was one of those amazing finds, and there's just this blonde boy in the next to last shot of the, like, one of the last shots of the episode as they're introducing themselves. He's standing in the doorway in the far background, but he's not moving at all. Just, he's stock still, and he looks like he is 1,000 yards staring both of them in the back of the head.
Yeah, it is really creepy. It's like, it's 3 Minute a Baby, Is That a Ghost level.
Yes!
Time territory. And then, so they're at the lunch table, and then all the popular girls from the other day come, and they're like, this is our table, and DJ's like, well, it's a scrub.
You're sitting at our table.
Well, now it's a scrub table, but you're welcome to join us.
I wanted to point out, total dick move on their part for stealing a lunch table.
Honestly, yeah.
Because, as you know, people that have been through high school, there is an unwritten rule.
Yes.
That, like, if there is no seats assigned in a classroom or there are no tables assigned in a cafeteria, you pick your place and you stay there.
That's right.
And I remember there being, when I was a senior in high school, we had towards the end of the school year, I had a falling out. Me and another friend of mine had a falling out with one of the guys that we shared our lunch table with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was honestly like a whole thing to get us to move tables. Like, it was a tense week of buildup of, like, people had, like, one of us having to go to across the cafeteria to, like, scope it out to where our other friends were.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, we hear they have 2 extra seats. Okay, cool. So, like, we're going to go. Today's the day. And it was, like, this, like...
Like, human smuggling.
It was this whole thing. And so, like, the day came, and we, like, went, and we had to sit at the new table, and we could see them over there. And it was, like, oof, we got out. Like...
You've always been Han Solo.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been a smuggler all your life.
So when that happened, I was like, well, of course I'm on DJ's side because she's our hero of the show.
Sure.
And those, 8th grade 30-year-olds are the villains.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, hey, it is their table. It is also day 2. So,
I mean, it's a little sus.
Maybe it's day 2. Maybe things haven't settled yet.
But the thing is, those girls have clearly been in this school for a couple of years, so
yeah,
they're probably coming back to the table.
Years.
That they're, yeah, those might have been teachers for all we know.
So now let's get into the trivia segment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So yeah, this episode was watched by 23.5 million viewers that week.
My God.
It was tied with Monday Night Football.
Okay.
And it was still number 22 for the week.
That is a testament to how few channels there were.
Roseanne was number 1 that week, and it was watched by 41.7 million people.
That is an insane number to me.
That's honestly, for this entire podcast, I honestly think 41.7 million viewers might be the biggest number I've ever said on this, because that is...
Yeah.
That is outrageous. There are, like, the most watched shows of the 70s had, like, 20 million viewers.
Yeah.
Like maybe 30. That's a crazy number.
Yeah. At this time, ABC was doing... They were the most watched network on TV.
They had it coming, because, like, CBS was the 70s.
Yeah.
ABC was kind of 80. I also noted there was a show called Bloopers and Jokes on NBC?
Oh, yeah, that's Bloopers and Practical Jokes. So Dick Clark used to host this.
Because I knew America's Funniest Home Videos and America's Funniest People.
No, this was
bloopers and jokes.
So this is a holdover from the 80s. Ed McMahon and Dick Clark used to host this, and it would be an occasional thing, and it was all behind the scenes, blown takes and stuff on sitcoms and stuff like that. Or sometimes they would be practical jokes that they would set up with people to pull like a little bit of punked, where someone that was on a show would prank someone else on that show.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Big fun. 26 million people watched that week.
Unbelievable.
For the seasons, for season 3 of Full House, it was 22 for the season, number 22.
Yep.
So the top 5 shows of the 89-90 season were at 5, America's Finest Home Videos, Bob Saget. 4, A Different World.
Wait, more people watched America's Funniest Home Videos
than Full House. Yeah, which is ridiculous. 4, A Different World. 3, Cheers. And then tied for number 1, The Cosby Show and Roseanne.
Wow.
So, crazy. This episode was the first time that Michelle ever said, "You got it, dude."
Right here and watch Uncle Jesse get a golf lesson first. Okay, babe?
Got it, dude.
Oh, was it really?
We saw some history.
Because she doesn't quite get it out
way. It's a muted "you got it, dude."
Yeah, she just says something like, "Got it, dude."
You got it, dude. And it's, she half-asses a thumbs up. Like,
yes.
Come on, boo.
It was the first time they taught her that trick.
Which is literally what it is for her.
Yeah.
She is a baby, so it is teaching her tricks.
Yes.
And then they also deploy all those catchphrases like it's a trick.
Yes.
Like, come on, say it. You got it, dude. Good girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yay!
Yeah. This episode on IMDb, 129 users rated this a 7.7.
Wow.
Would you go higher, lower, right on the money, for Full House episodes? I feel like we are both adequately up on Full House where we can gauge whether or not this is a 7.7 Full House episode.
I would go lower. I would go probably 7 out of 10 for Full House. Mostly because they just straight up dropped that B plot.
Yeah.
Like, they gave no resolution to it.
Yeah, I would go, I don't know, a 7, yeah, like a 7, 7.1, 7.1. Like, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it's on the low. Because to me, Full House, much like Mad Men, gets better as it goes on.
Yeah, it matures well.
I like latter season Full House. I want DJ with Steve.
Yeah.
I want, like, high school Stephanie with Gia.
Oh, yeah.
And I want a fully autonomous Michelle. Like, I want a Michelle that isn't just doing tricks. I want her to have arcs and friends and, lines.
You want to see Michelle and Teddy.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I want. So, early Full House, eh. I want to get to where they're playing Ace of Bases, The Sign.
I just was going to say the exact same thing.
Which is also comes back in Fuller House. Fuller House is great. Gia comes back and they get the band back together in Full House.
I feel like I gotta check this out. Well, she's a DJ in Full House, right?
Yeah,
she's DJ Stephanie Tanner. Yeah.
Who had the must-see performance in this episode? I'm having a hard time with this.
That's a great question. I would...
It's really hard. Because my go-tos...
Yeah.
Normally on a Full House episode, my go-tos are gonna be Becky, Joey, or Kimmy. That's who mostly that's who I'm going to give it to. They don't got much to do in this episode.
Yeah, Becky doesn't, scene is really good.
Really good.
But I think I'm going to have to give it to DJ because she carried the whole episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of weight. I guess I have to give it to DJ because this is like the DJ-iest of episodes.
Yes.
And she nails the drama. Mm-hmm. That, like, I guess I'll be your daddy's little girl forever.
Yeah.
Oof.
And I loved, I always thought it was funny. I remember thinking it was very funny when I was a kid that she says, I sat in the phone booth and listened to the operator for 20, she knew this specific.
Yeah, 20 to it was 12, like 26.
25 minutes and 45 seconds or something. And I was like, oh, yeah, that would allow her enough time to have gotten her lunch, to have had that, like, 90-second interaction, and then to go into the booth. It just was, like, so accurate to me, and also very funny that she knew the exact last moment that she listened.
So, yeah, I will give it to DJ. If we ever do Full House again, keep in mind, like, Kimmy, Joey, and Becky, the all-stars.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yes.
Also, there's some good Stephanie every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, if I'm watching it, it's for Kimmy and Joey and Becky.
Yeah, there's
God, Joey's also horrible. Joey's a. It's honestly, I could just talk about Full House for so many hours.
Well, Stephanie's lines get a lot better towards when she's around eighth grade.
Yeah,
she's super sarcastic,
real good,
and her jokes, like, they write good, like, burns for her. Yeah. Like, she burns Kimmy. She burns Gibbler a lot.
Joey is the least funny comedian ever, but also, like, guilty pleasure love.
Yes,
must other people see this episode?
I believe they should.
They already have.
Oh, I mean, no one hasn't. But if you haven't, it is a solid distillation of this era of Full House.
Yeah, of, like, first half Full House.
Yeah, a little bit of silliness, some heartfelt lessons, and you get that golden era Michelle cuteness.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, there are definitely Full House episodes that are, like, way better than this one. I mean, any episode with the Beach Boys.
Right.
Gotta go with it.
Oh, yeah. When they just stand there with half smiles the entire time they're on camera.
The episode where DJ makes friends with an Alzheimer's patient.
Oh, yes.
The episode where they ask if little Michelle will never remember their mother.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's some...
I mean, the final episode of the series where... Michelle. The youngest one gets amnesia.
After falling off a horse.
Such a strange way to end a series. Also, just strange pitch in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's an hour-long celebration of all things Michelle.
Yes.
What it is. Michelle.
Michelle smiling.
Oh, God. Also, the episode where Jesse is as Vulture... Wearing a leather jumpsuit, and he gets stuck.
Oh, he gets stuck in the air!
And he keeps sticking his tongue out. and there's also the episode, is it where the cousin comes, and he keeps leaving love notes around, and everyone keeps reading love notes that they think is for other... It's a total farce.
Yes.
And then it also reveals that, like, Comet has an inner dialogue, and, like, thinks in English.
Yes.
Comet is a dog. Full House is great. Where can people find you on the internet to talk about Full House?
Oh, you want to check me out? You check me out on Instagram at Matt Little, Twitter at The Matt Little. You can also catch up on some of my TV recaps. And also, I compile the funniest replies to Donald Trump tweets every week for funnierdie.com.
Ah, nice.
Which is actually harder than you'd think. Because a lot of the replies to Donald Trump, even from very, very funny people, are just, I fucking hate you.
Which is truth.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guest, Matt Little, for dropping by and talking about Full House with me this week. Next week on the show, I will be discussing the Roseanne episode, Death and Stuff. Death and Stuff is in Season 1, it is Episode 21, and you can watch that Roseanne episode on Amazon.com. As I've been saying over the past couple episodes, if you have a question for the show about 20th century sitcoms, you can send it in to the email address musthaveseentv@gmail.com. That's musthaveseentv@gmail.com. Until then, you can follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr at musthaveseentv. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review the show in iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. You can read the words that I write at Decider.com. You can check out my sitcom t-shirts and stickers at tpublic.com/user/Brett White. The theme song is Patricia's Moving Picture by The Go Team. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to all y'all for listening, and I'll see you next week on Must Have Seen TV.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.